It's time for the Sandler Training Hour on Newstalk 670 KBOI. Here's your host, Jim Stevens.
And welcome to the weekend. I'm your host, Jim Stevens. This is the Sandler Training Hour. In this program, we let you get the insight to different Sandler trainers that are located throughout the world. My guest today is Susan Sykes. She's been on the program before. She's from Raleigh, North Carolina. Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Jim. Thank you. And thanks for having me back.
Well, I'm just delighted to have you back, especially with the topic that you have in mind, which is helping managers develop a leadership compass. And I'm guessing with a title like that, it's probably not just managers. This may apply to every walk of life.
I think you're absolutely right. You could use this in any area of your life, whether you're a manager or stay-at-home mom running your household. It's really a little bit of a take on goal setting with, we'll call it, some guiding principles that will help you in different areas of your life.
Give us kind of the background of what you're going to be sharing with our listeners today.
So I started doing this with my management program. It's now a part of my onboarding that I do with all my executive leaders that come into my program. You know that there's a difference between a manager and a leader, right? And sometimes it's hard for us to develop that leadership skill. So we begin by looking at, you know, what are the things that a leader must have, and creating this set of, I'll call them operating principles or guidelines, that eventually we develops into a document that the leaders are able to share with their team members to really help their team members not only know how to work with that leader better and keep that, help the leader stay on course, but how to help people be successful in their company.
Yeah, leadership is one of those things that is so challenging because it means something different to everyone. So give us your broad definition of what you perceive the term leader to mean.
Happy to do that. And, you know, for me, and that's actually the challenge that we start with in the class, is we ask the leaders to define leadership for themselves. What is your definition of leadership? And we don't really think about in terms of, you know, what do we think it's supposed to be, or what's the dictionary definition, or what's it mean for my company specifically, but what's it mean for you as a person to be a good leader? My definition of a leader, again, this is my personal definition. A leader is someone that inspires others to do their best for a common cause. An excellent leader encourages those around them to believe in themselves and to do more than they thought they could. When their mission is accomplished, an excellent leader knows how to celebrate the success of others. One of those tricky things is it's easy to be a good leader when you're winning, but when you're faced with difficulty and even defeat, an excellent leader knows how to help shoulder the burden and is compassionate to the team, learns from the experience, and continues to move forward with the confidence, knowing that the knowledge that they've obtained through this is going to equal growth, and that growth and success go hand in hand.
I really love that, especially that part about celebrating. That's something I probably don't do very well.
I think that is one of those areas that becomes challenging for a leader. We tend to be in this position of putting out the next fire,
right?
And sometimes when that happens, the urgent gets in way of the important, and we forget to recognize those successes.
So tell us about this leadership compass. Walk us through the process that you take your clients through.
So we start, as I mentioned, with developing their definition of leadership. The idea is this document, first of all, I suppose I should say, should be short and concise. That's the sort of the acid test. We really look for the document itself to be no more than 2 pages. So we start with, what's your definition of leadership? And we ask them to spend a few minutes kind of defining that for themselves. Then the second question that we ask them is to really begin to think about what their business values are. And when we say business values, I just generally start by saying, hey, grab a pen and paper, write down 3 or 4 words that are important to you. And we give them an opportunity to do that. So I'm going to take you through sort of the 8 areas that we look at.
Okay,
there's
great.
Nothing magic about these 8, and we can certainly come back and evaluate them all in detail or as much detail as you want. The next area that we look at is, what are your operating principles? These are the things that how you will behave as a leader. Think about this as sort of your guidelines, your guideposts. Then I ask you to think about, what are your expectations? This is a two-way street. What should people be able to expect of you, and what do you expect of them? Non-negotiables. These are things that, you know, we have to have these, and if you did this, this would be really bad in our organization. It would be worth letting somebody go if they conducted themselves in this sort of non-negotiable area.
Yeah.
our priorities then. We want to look at that. We want to make sure that our folks understand what is the priority in our organization. And then commitment is another area that we look at. And commitment also is a two-way street. You can't ask people to be committed to you if you're not committed to them. And so in each of those eight areas, we kind of break that down and we ask our managers and our leaders to kind of define what those mean to them. And then I ask them to step back and say, what's missing here? What's on this wheel that really we should add to, or maybe doesn't fit your organization and you want to take it away? Because the idea is this is your compass. This is your document.
You're asking me these questions. I'm not sure that I would know right off the top of my head my answer for these. So very probing, very penetrating questions. It makes me think if we don't know what leadership is ourselves and what our guiding principles are, it'd be really hard to help train someone else to become a great leader.
You know, this has been a great exercise, even, you know, as I go through it myself. And I have my own leadership document that I share with my team here. They know those things from me of, you know, these are things that are going to make us successful in, as an organization. It really is about painting your vision.
And understanding it internally.
Yes.
So take us through those eight items again.
If we look at our business values, we want to write down three or four words that are important to us in our business. For example, I'll share mine with you. These are just mine. They don't, in our organization, we value honesty, accountability. As you know, accountability in Sandler and everything we do is really important to us. And we value transparency and professionalism. Those were, I kept that very simple, very concise. Those are the things that we value.
Yeah, that's awesome. So once I understand my business values, then my next step is...
My next thing that I look at is my operating principles. Think of these as, this is how you will conduct yourself as a leader on a daily basis. Something that your team can come to depend on and they can come to know that you'll behave in a certain way. Some examples of my operating principles. My first operating principle is that I'm fair and just. So I can look at myself in the morning and I can say, okay, today I will be fair and just. And at the end of the day, I can evaluate myself as a leader on, today was I fair and just.
So it's not really something that I'm aspiring to. This is the core fabric of who you are.
Yes, but you bring up a really good point because sometimes there are things that as leaders we know we need to be better at. And so I encourage people, if it really is at the core of who you are and who you're aspiring to be, go ahead and write it down as an I am statement. Because we know, Jim, that our brain works in the present tense. So we go ahead and tell ourselves each and every day, this is something, a document you can look at every day and say to yourself, I am fair and just. And just that putting it in the present tense and knowing that your brain is working that way will put you in that mindset.
So you said your first operating principle is fair and just. What other operating principles do you find energy from?
So I have that I'm approachable and I'm in control of myself. You can bring me bad news and I will be calm and help you find a solution. Sometimes leaders struggle with that. I personally grade myself by that am I approachable and in control of myself at all times? My third one is I am consistent. Again, that's something I can look at the end of the day and say, how'd I do? I can score myself.
Gotta say, also, Susan, it's a little bit intimidating. I'm thinking maybe one of my operating principles is shoot the messenger, because I'm pretty good at that.
I think, you know, I have to say, when I was challenged to do this by one of my mentors, it was intimidating to sit down and think about what am I really going to grade myself by at the end of the day.
Wow.
And I'm not perfect.
No.
But, you know, I if I have this in front of me every day and I'm using this as my operating principle on how I'm going to behave, it sure helps me to stay on track.
It's awesome. I'm talking today with Susan Sykes. She's sharing with us the leadership compass. These are eight guiding principles that will drive you to success. Susan, share your contact information in case there's somebody listening who'd like to reach out to you.
Awesome. I'm Susan Sykes, Raleigh, North Carolina. You can reach me by phone at 919-615-2136, or you can reach me by email at Susan, S-U-S-A-N, .Sykes, S-Y-K-E-S, at Sandler.com.
We're going to be back with more of Susan just after this next break. When we come back, we're going to continue our deep dive into the eight guiding principles for leadership. My name's Jim Stevens. I'm the host of the Sandler Training Hour, and you can reach us at area code 208-429-9275. 208-429-9275 or on the web at crossroads.sandler.com. We'll be back just after this.
Hi, this is Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. With the baby boomer generation maturing, 8 million businesses will be sold or closed in the next 10 years. 75% of those companies have business owners who want to sell their business, but only 20% of them will be successful. If you're a business owner who's thinking about selling or transitioning your firm to your employees, and you're not sure if you'll be able to achieve your dream of a successful transition, call me, Jim Stevens, 208-429-9275. I will help you determine what actions will be required to position your business for a successful transition. Our initial no-cost analysis will help you see the 4 steps required to achieve success. Sandler Training, 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. If you're ready to take your business to the next level, we're ready to help. Sandler Training, 208-429-9275. And welcome to Behind the Business. This segment of our program, we get to meet the people that are behind the business and hear their stories. And I have as my guest today, Eric Crawford with Loop Technologies. Eric's business specializes in home automation, home theater, audio, visual, and security. Eric, share with our listeners a little bit about why the Loop is different. And I think the root reason behind that has something to do with you are an engineer.
Yeah, I think so. We come up to our projects from a much different light. Most of the individuals that own companies like mine, they're in it because they used to install car stereos. They maybe had a nice pair of speakers that they really liked and thought, well, I really like this, and so I'm going to start a company about it.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, the fundamental flaw with that is that they're making it about them instead of about the customer. And for me, all that matters is that customer experience. And we want to deliver that premium experience. So when I started the organization, I looked at it as how can we operate within our company to make sure and deliver that great experience. So we have things like a ticket handling system. So if anyone ever has an issue with their project, anything with their system, they just send an email to support@theloopboise.com, and it triggers a whole series of events that happen in the back end. That gets date and time stamped. It goes to a field supervisor. There's then timers that run. If it doesn't get replied to in a certain amount of time, we then can assign photos to it and tracking and all these things to make sure that we're focusing on that customer experience.
So not only do you sell automation, but you have automated your company to really meet the needs of your clients.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we live and breathe the value of it. You know, and whoever the first person is that walks in our office, when they disarm the alarm, it date and time stamps that disarming. Then it turns on the lights, adjusts the heating and cooling, turns on the music, turns on applicable TVs, and all of that happens automatically. So that, one, I can ensure a consistent experience for my clients that come in, and two, it allows my team to focus on the things that they should be focusing on, like helping our clients.
Well, next, when we get back after this next segment, I want to hear more about your office. So give your contact information in case somebody would like to drop in and see you.
Absolutely. Our address is 4255 North Eagle Road. We're just south of McMillan, right there on Eagle. And phone number 938-2302, or you can just visit us online at theloopboise.com.
All right, and we'll be back with more of Eric after this next segment of the Sandler Training Hour. Hi, this is Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. My ability to tell our story pales in comparison to what my clients have to say.
How Sandler has benefited us has been a tremendous impact on their sales methodology and the practices and procedures that we follow now. Before, we were just pretty much doing everything individually on our own, and now we have very structure to what we do, and our results have been amazing.
Sandler has helped me quite a bit. When you meet with a client says, oh yeah, we're interested to send us a quote, and you send a quote, and then next thing you know, you're in a chase mode. I use one of the Sandler approaches. Very simple. It sounds like, Sandy, you've decided not to work with us, but you're just too nice and you don't want to hurt my feelings. And if that's the case, that's okay. Immediately she said, no, we have not made a decision yet, and then explains to me why she hasn't returned my call. So the system worked.
If you're ready to take yourself or your team to the next level, give me a call. Jim Stevens, 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. And welcome back to the Sandler Training Hour. I'm your host, Jim Stevens. My guest today is Susan Sykes. She's from Raleigh, North Carolina, and Susan's been talking to us about a leadership compass. She's given us 8 principles, and we're doing a deep dive into What are those governing principles that will guide my leadership? She mentioned in the first segment, to the point that I will grade myself on my ability to adhere to these principles. So the first principles that we covered, Susan, was what is your definition of leadership? We talked about business values, and then you gave us the overview of operating principles.
Thanks, Jim. So maybe I should start by saying to ask your listeners to draw a circle, and in this circle to create 8 different sort of spokes from the circle if they could, and that will help them sort of keep these values sort of in line. So if they draw a circle with 8 different spokes from that circle, then each of these guiding principles will have a spot within their circle.
It's a great image, especially in light of the fact that we're talking about a leadership compass. That's very cool.
And then, you know, you can pick your north point. For me, my north point is my, you know, what is my definition of leadership? Because that's the thing that I'm always kind of looking at and grading myself against.
One thing that Susan pointed out is that it's not a dictionary definition, it's your definition. How do you define leadership?
So operating principles, I almost look at this as my cookbook as a leader, my leadership cookbook. You know, in Sandler, we have sales cookbooks and we have manager cookbooks. This operating principle, this is kind of my leadership cookbook. This is what I will do and how I will conduct myself. As an example, I think one of the operating principles that I mentioned is I am consistent and I am fair and just. I'm in control of myself. And you know, sometimes it's scary for people to bring me bad news. So each day I affirm that I'm approachable and in control of myself, and it's okay for people to bring me bad news.
So these are almost maybe your core values.
Very close to my core values. Things that I think if I look at the end of the day, I can look at these things and measure them at the end of the day and say, well, did I do this? How did I do here? Where sometimes a core value can be a little bit fake. Did I treat people with respect? Or did I show, you know, love? You know, you can always sort of grade yourself on those things.
So we're after a little bit more specific so that it's something that is measurable.
Yes, and I would say it's measurable from a standpoint of I can give myself an A, B, or a C, but you can't really, like, difficult. And when we talk about cookbook, we say, well, did I make my 5 outbound calls or my 10 outbound calls, right? So
right,
it's not measurable in that sense, but I can kind of grade myself on how I behave.
So the next spoke in our wheel, what would that be?
So how about we look at expectations next?
Okay.
Expectations is really, I want you to, our listeners to think of expectations as a two-way street. This is the things that not only I expect it from them, but they can expect it from me. So as an example, in my organization, I think that we're a sales organization, and my expectations are very simple, that we have 2 roles in our company. We're either have a selling role or a sales support role. We have expectations of we do our cookbooks, and we share them publicly. That's an expectation that not only do they share their cookbook with me, but I share mine with them.
So a big part of leadership then becomes that transparency, which is, as we all know, leading by example.
Absolutely. And, you know, we all also know that leaders have different responsibilities. So the things I share with them are not the same thing that's on their cookbook. But it's still important that they see that I'm holding myself accountable to my behaviors as well.
Typically, we think of management. I have a role to oversee your activities, your behavior, your productivity, your results. This sounds like this might be a level above that.
Yes, the manager absolutely is overseeing their results and their behaviors, no question about that. But here I'm also giving them a peek into, hey, this is what I have to do for the organization each day and each week. So it gives them that, or gives a sense of transparency there, that it's not just me coming as the manager telling them they have to do things, that I have things that, you know, they can hold me accountable to as well.
So the picture in my mind is it's less of a hierarchy and more of a peer review.
Yes, I think that's accurate. Not to say that, you know, I am the owner of the company, so there's a hierarchy there, but as the owner of the company, I have a lot of responsibility to them. And so it's important that they feel like, you know, they can, again, back to my operating principle, that I am approachable and
awesome.
Consistent. So it's not that my cookbook is the same as their cookbook, because it's not. but it's important that they see that I have one.
Can you give us an example of some of those two-way expectations that you have seen come out of this training?
From some of my other leaders?
Yes,
you mean?
Like from some of your clients or maybe even some of your employees. What is their mutual expectation?
Some of my other leaders have given me expectations. Sometimes leaders will say, you know, I really drives me crazy when people come into work late. So sometimes their expectation is that people get to work on time. However, that's, I remind them it's a two-way street. If you want to have people come to work on time, then you need to be on time for the meetings that are scheduled in your office.
Love it. It's kind of a safety valve against hypocrisy.
Yeah, it is. So I will have leaders say, you know, they'll get really frustrated sometimes and they'll say, you know, people are late or they don't show up to meetings on time, or so whether it's coming in late or showing up to meetings on time, or another one is just being prepared. I had one leader say, you know, I hate it when my people go into meetings and they or come into meetings with me and they don't seem prepared.
Yeah.
And so I had to say, well, how much do you prepare for your meetings with them?
Awesome. That's good.
So it really doesn't have to be a big lofty, you know, sort of cookbook thing that takes all day for you to think about. In fact, I challenge people, I want you to spend no more than 5 minutes coming up with your first draft of each of these segments, because probably what you think of in the first 5 minutes is probably what's really important
right.
to you.
Yeah, just as you're talking, I'm thinking, well, one of mine is taking notes, because I have a pet peeve. If somebody shows up to a meeting and they don't have something to take a note on, not good.
That's right.
So after
so you can certainly use that one.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. After expectations, what's the next spoke that we'd look at?
So I look at priorities, and I try to make this very simple. Again, you want to look at what are your priorities as an organization. If someone were to come and sit into your office, and you're the CEO of the company, and they were to say to you, not sure what I should be doing today, you should be able to point to these priorities and say, well, this is what we do. So for me, you know, I'm a Sandler trainer, so my priorities are prospect, sell, train, coach, and mentor, in that order. Mm. And so if you're a member of my organization and you're not sure what you're supposed to do each day, there's your list. And even if you're a sales support person and your role isn't selling directly, but you have to help with these main priorities of our business, that helps you set the priorities on what you do each day.
That is really awesome. I love the topic. So just to kind of wrap up this segment, share with our listeners, here's what we've covered so far. In our journey to establish a leadership compass, we want to start with understanding our own personal definition of leadership. Second, what are our business values? Then what are our operating principles? What are our expectations that go both ways, not only things we expect of others, but the expectations we have of ourselves? And then finally, what are my priorities? So it looks like we've covered 5 of the 8, Susan. Why don't you give your contact information, and then in our final segment, we'll cover these next 3 and give a big picture overview of what action steps a leader should have as their priorities to lead.
Okay. Thank you for that. My contact information is Susan Sykes, Raleigh, North Carolina. Again, the phone number, 919-615-2136. You can reach me on email at susan.sykes@sandler.com.
Awesome, and we'll be back with more of Susan. Our next segment is Entrepreneur Radio. In this part of our program, we interview local and regional entrepreneurs. We hear the story of some of the challenges they've overcome to create their business, and thereby providing some insights and strategies for you in your development and evolution of your business. If you'd be interested in being in that segment of the program, you can give me a call at area code 208-429-9275, or we're available on the web at crossroads.sandler.com. My name is Jim Stevens, and we'll be back just after this.
Hi, this is Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. With the baby boomer generation maturing, 8 million businesses will be sold or closed in the next 10 years. 75% of those companies have business owners who want to sell their business, but only 20% of them will be successful. If you're a business owner who's thinking about selling or transitioning your firm to your employees, and you're not sure if you'll be able to achieve your dream of a successful transition, call me. Jim Stevens, 208-429-9275. I will help you determine what actions will be required to position your business for a successful transition. Our initial no-cost analysis will help you see the four steps required to achieve success. Sandler Training, 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. If you're ready to take your business to the next level, we're ready to help. Sandler Training, 208-429-9275. And welcome back to Behind the Business. I'm your host, Jim Stevens. In this segment of our program, we get to meet the people and hear the story behind some local businesses. If you've ever been on Eagle Road, you've driven past the Loop Technologies. I had to tell Eric, I've known Eric for years, I have never stepped foot in his office, and I'm embarrassed by that now.
Shame on you.
All right. So tell me, what would I see if I walked into your office?
Well, what you'll notice that our office is not... It's about as far as you could get from what looks like an audio video
showroom. Yeah.
It's not a showroom. It's a design center. Our whole intent of the space is to show people what options are available. We don't have a wall of 50 TVs. We don't have 17 different speakers lined up. For us, we have some very unique solutions to help educate and advise people about what's available. So whether that be projection screens that you can use with the lights on, whether it be speakers that are built into the sheetrock that you can't even see, whether it be iPads or iPhones that can control your entire home, that's how it's set up. It's set up so it's actually an experience center where people can come in, touch the technology, play with it, find the parts they like and the parts that give them value.
Do you not have all of the hardware on display because you don't sell it?
No, we sell all the hardware. We actually sell over 1,300 different items. So one of our big things is that we don't want to pigeonhole our buyers and our customers to think that they have to buy one of those types of things. For us, it's about that end experience, and we want them to see the concepts, and then we help refine into regard to what specific type of speaker will work best for them.
Is walk-in traffic welcome? Is it
absolutely.
For one of the listeners to just pop in?
Oh, absolutely. We're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and then Saturdays by appointment. And yeah, anyone's always welcome to come in and take a look.
So give your contact information and address, if you would.
Absolutely, yeah. So we're at 4255. North Eagle Road, so we're just south of McMillan on the Meridian side. Website is theloopboise.com, and our office number is 938-2302.
Thanks, Eric. We're going to be back with a little more of Eric and the Loop Technologies after our next segment. In our final installment, Eric, let's talk a little bit about your company's focus on results. I'm Jim Stevens. You can reach me at area code 208-429-9275. Or on the web at crossroads.sandler.com. We'll be back just after this.
Hi, this is Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. My ability to tell our story pales in comparison to what my clients have to say.
I attended this Sandler Training seminar to try and get an idea of what I'm doing wrong. I know that I just touched the tip of the iceberg on a great system that would really, really help our business bottom line.
I've been introduced to a completely new reality, and it's really helped me with some personal related issues. And it's made a huge difference to me.
Look at it as an investment in your team. Get past the time that you've got to put into it if you're going to reap the benefits. And you may not see it at first. Hang with it, and it will come. And you'll start seeing those skills come out in your employees, and they'll feel better about themselves. They'll feel better professionally. They'll feel like they're learning and growing. Just the education that it brought to the forefront of my management team helped their personal feelings about their work here.
If you're ready to take yourself or your team to the next level, give me a call. Jim Stevens, 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. Sandler's really expensive, and it takes a lot of time. Share your response to that.
It might be if you're just looking at the bottom line cost, but at the same time, it's an investment in yourself. The small investment that I made into Sandler Training has more than paid off tenfold on a monthly basis. I mean, I've made more in a month from the Sandler Training than I have in previous years.
My name is Robbie Richards. I work at Royal J. I'm in charge of the online marketing. I started with Sandler about 3 months ago now. You know, the biggest takeaway for me has been just how much I didn't know. Since being here, we've doubled the revenue that we've been generating. So, you know, it's 10 times paid for itself easily by already. So I'm excited for the road ahead and highly recommend this training to anyone who's looking for a way to generate new business sales and be successful.
If results like these are results you want your team to experience, give me a call, 208-429-9275, Jim Stevens, Sandler Training, 208-429-9275. 1-800-875-5225. And welcome to Entrepreneur Radio. I'm your host, Jim Stevens. In this segment of our program, we get to meet local entrepreneurs and success stories from all over, not only Boise, but our region. And I'm just so honored to have on the air with me today, Meg Carlson. Meg, welcome. Glad to have you on the show today.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Meg is a local success story, and I'm not going to spoil the beans. I'm going to let you tell about the new organization that you are the CEO of.
Prosperity Organic Foods is a certified B or benefit corporation that it focuses on developing and marketing great tasting products that feature innovative use of healthy fats so that today's families can eat better, live better, and feel better.
Now, how did you go from, and I know Meg because she's a business broker, and we've referred work back and forth over the years. So how did you go from business broker to the CEO of a food company?
Well, actually, my career began with Ore-Ida Foods. I came out of business school, and I started working on Weight Watchers Frozen Foods and then worked on other Ore-Ida food brands, did corporate development M&A there, then built the specialty division, which included rolling national brands like Bagel Bites and Rosetta Stuffed Pasta. So for me, this is full circle.
So you're returning back to your roots.
That's correct.
That's awesome. What a story. So tell us, how did your marquee product melt? Tell us what it is and how did that come to be?
So the flagship product, Rich and Creamy Melt Organic, is a spreadable plant-based butter made with virgin coconut oil, which is a superfood, blended with other healthy fats. The idea for it was developed by a woman who had severe digestive issues and wasn't satisfied with what was out there because she had to give up butter. So she combined virgin coconut oil with flaxseed oil in a predecessor product. And then I met her through the Boise Angel Alliance and the Boise Angel Fund in 2008. Huh. She was seeking money. I led the diligence effort since I was the food person.
Yeah, right.
And was enamored with what she had discovered, but there was a lot of work to do. So I got involved as a consultant and advisor and introduced her to some other folks. Some of us pooled our money and were the first angel investors. That got us on our way.
And so that was in 08, you said?
I met her in 08. 2009 was the whole process of coming up with a melt brand, reformulating the product, figuring out where to make it, all of those really basic blocking and tackling steps. And then we launched Rich and Creamy Melt and a second product, Honey Melt, like a honey butter.
Oh, really?
In January of 2012.
How's the business going?
Business has been growing 40 to 50% a year.
Wow.
And this year we added two more very innovative products. One is we've taken our basic spread and we fortify it with a probiotic. So in 2 tablespoons of probiotic melt, you get your daily requirement of probiotic or 1 billion colony-forming units.
Wow.
And the second product, and this was what we got asked the most often by our moms, was, hey, when I bake, I like to cut it off in tablespoons because all my recipes call for a quarter stick or 2 sticks or, full pound.
Right.
And so we formulated a product that was especially made to perform well in baking. And that's really important because most of the margarine spreads out there that are made from vegetable oils like soy or corn, those oils are not meant to go to high heat. And so your cookies and cakes don't rise and they don't taste very good. So we have Melt Organic, the plant-based butter, basically, in stick form.
And what is your reselling chain? Are you currently in grocery stores? Or talk to us about how you've taken it to the market.
Yeah, so the brand, we started with a corporate force out by Whole Foods in the end of 2012, so that all of a sudden the brand was national. We were in all Whole Foods divisions across the country. Then Safeway picked up the products in 2013, and then we continued to sort of march around the country and geographically expand. So now the products are in about 8,500 stores across the U.S. and Canada. In Canada, we're in Safeway and Loblaws and Walmart and Whole Foods, and here as well in all of the major retailers. So it's been quite an exciting journey.
And fast.
It has
been. Really fast. So how many employees does the firm have?
We're small. We have 6 full-time and 4 part-time employees.
Yeah, and does that include the manufacturing
side? It does not. not. We partner with Zoroco Packaging in Caldwell. They have the production employees who work on our dedicated production line.
Can you share with us rough numbers what your annual revenue is?
Under $10 million at this point, but growing very rapidly.
That's a lot.
And expect to be at $10 million in the next 2 years.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Good for you. Well, congratulations. That must be fun to be a part of something brand new and growing.
It is fun and rewarding because we hear from our consumers, mostly moms, but also dads. We hear from them. They solicit us on a regular basis with testimonials and say, thank you, I love Melt, thank you for making this product. A lot of their children have allergies, they can't eat dairy. Margarine products really are not very good for you and not very satisfying. And so our consumers are very loyal, and so they let us know all the time how thankful they are.
Meg, let's talk a little bit about the business side of things. So in Entrepreneur Radio, we want to give some kind of a context for business entrepreneurs. What do I need to do to become a success like you and your companies have over the years?
Well, I think the first and most important thing for me has always been to drive from values, with values that are important to the organization in the future, and then to say, what's the vision for this company? What do we want to be when we grow up? And I believe in reaching large and having a BHAG, big hairy ass goal in the old Collins methodology, and really reaching for the stars and then figuring out what are the key milestones that you have to hit along the way to make progress towards those goals, and always challenge yourself to do much better than you think you really are capable of doing. And I think today, in particular, attracting millennials, is important that they believe in a cause and believe that you are capable of achieving those goals. They want to be part of something bigger and better, and we do that.
And it sounds like even the business name, Prosperity Organic Foods, really encapsulates that niche that you have defined. So I'm guessing you've got other products that you're working on developing along that same line.
We have what we call an aggressive new product pipeline, identifying other categories and types of products where we can bring our same expertise on healthy fats and ingredients that are good for your gut, like probiotic, to the marketplace in great tasting alternatives.
You said a little bit earlier, a big part of growing a successful business is keeping true to your core values. Organic, healthy, sustainable foods, I'm guessing is part of your core values.
And also, we are focused on integrity. We are focused on treating others with respect. We are, as a mission-oriented company, committed to doing the right thing for employees, for the climate, for the planet, for our community.
Awesome. Give your contact information in case somebody's listening to us and they'd like to reach out to you and pick your brain.
So Meg, M-E-G, at meltorganic.com.
Wow, that's very simple. Meg at meltorganic.com. Meg Carlson's the CEO of Prosperity Organic Foods. So glad to have you on the program. We're going to have you stay for Behind the Business, if you're willing.
Sure, be happy to.
My name is Jim Stevens. This is Entrepreneur Radio. If you or someone you know might be a good guest for our program, please reach out to me at area code 208-429-9275, or you can catch us on the web at crossroads.sandler.com. We'll be back just after this.
Do you realize that for every customer complaint you receive, 26 of your customers remain silent, though they are unhappy? 82% of customers who stop using your services do so because of a single negative experience. I'm Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. Our strategic customer care program provides an interactive forum for your employees to learn the fundamentals of dealing with difficult clients, increasing referrals, developing prospecting awareness, and increasing your revenue by upselling and cross-selling. Give your frontline team the tools needed to deliver an exceptional customer service experience. 4 months, an hour and a half each week, and your frontline staff will be equipped to help you gain market share and destroy your competition. Enroll today by contacting us at area code 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. Or reach us on the web at www.crossroads.sandler.com.
And welcome to the final segment of Behind the Business. I'm your host, Jim Stevens. This segment of our program, we get to meet the people and hear the story behind some local businesses. Eric Crawford, friend of mine, has been in business for 10 years. His business, The Loop Technologies, focuses on home automation, home security, audio visual, and they're located right on Eagle Road. Eric, one of the things that I think sets your company apart from others is that you focus not so much on what you're selling, but the customer's experience with you and your team. How do you make that happen? What's the ingredient to that?
Yeah, that's a really tough one. It is a really tough one to make sure that everyone always remembers that we only exist because of our clients. So we structure everything around our organization about whether it's in the best interest of the client. And that's how we structure our care plans. That's how we structure our warranties. That's how we structure our entire design process, is to try and create that premium experience for the client where it takes the absolute least amount of resources possible on their part so that it's the least burden for them. And we take that on so that we can deal with product warranty issues, failures, all those types of things we take on so that they, when they come to us, they know they're in good hands. They know those issues will be addressed.
I think one of the frustrations consumers have when they're purchasing the type of products you provide is that we don't know your business. And most people who are in your business are speaking a different language. How do you bridge that gap?
So that's a great point. There's a couple things we do. One is that I actively hire people that aren't from our industry. I think it's very important to do that. Right now, we're really trying to find, I'll make a little plug for my company, we're really trying to hire a female salesperson, a female designer. We would love to have one on board so that she can help us communicate that message. The technology is just the back-end technology. They're just black boxes. What we're trying to do is create that front-end experience, that interface, whether it be the remote they hold in their hand, whatever it is, it's the best possible.
Awesome. Give your contact information, Eric, in case somebody is looking for a job or they'd like to come see your business.
Absolutely. We do have multiple job openings right now, and you can just swing on by. Our address is 4255 North Eagle Road, just south of McMillan. Phone number 938-2302. Website, theloopboise.com. Thanks so much.
And we'll be back with the final segment of the Sandler Training Hour just after this. Hi, this is Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. My ability to tell our story pales in comparison to what my clients have to say.
What I have received already is a feeling of freeing myself up to live life a little stronger, a little better, a little happier. And I got that from the first meeting.
It really changed the way we do business. Number one, it raised the bar. The status quo of the normal sales process really couldn't fly, and it brought the inefficiencies to the surface. It really is an all-in. If you don't have pain, budget, decision, you're going to miss something.
The beautiful thing about Sandler is that it really gets to the heart of communication between a person who has a product or service and the potential client. Sandler opens up the lines of communication, helps both parties win through the relationship.
If you're ready to take yourself or your team to the next level, give me a call. Jim Stevens, 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. Hi, this is Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. I will help you determine what actions will be required to position your business for a successful transition. Sandler Training, 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. If you're ready to take your business to the next level, we're ready to help. Sandler Training, 208-429-9275. And welcome to the final segment of the Sandler Training Hour. I'm your host, Jim Stevens. My guest today is Susan Sykes. She's from Raleigh, North Carolina. Susan's one of our expert trainers and has been sharing with us some leadership principles. She introduced us to this leadership compass. And the concept here is, do you as a leader have a clear understanding of how you define leadership? Do you understand the business values that drive you and keep you focused? Are you clear in your operating principles? Does your team know those operating principles? What about expectations? Do you have expectations that you have established for the people you lead, your constituents? And do you share and reciprocate by providing the same expectations for you? And then we also talked a little bit about priorities. So Susan, share with us, how do I set my priorities in the process of defining those? And maybe if you would, share your priorities, because they were very concise. I loved how you have defined yours.
Well, thank you for saying that. So here's what I think about priorities. I think as a CEO or the owner of a company, step back and take a 30,000-foot view of what are the most important things that happen in your business, that if you had to not do anything else, you could do these things and you would be successful. It really should be very clear, very concise. It's your core mission as a company. So, Jim, as an example, our business is we're a sales training and leadership development organization. So in order to for me to be able to do that, for me to be able to get in front of people, help them be better at sales, and help them, you know, help managers become better leaders, then there are a few core things that I must do throughout the course of my day and the people in my organization must do. So I boiled it down to really a couple very simple things. Prospect, sell, train, coach, and mentor in that order. In my organization, if you're not sure what you're supposed to do each day, it falls into that. Even if you're in sales support, someone who's in a sales support role, they might not have to actually go out and prospect, but if they're not sure what they can do, they can help me build a prospect list.
So how hard is it to come up with that concise, clear list? Is this something that has evolved for you over the length of time?
Great question. It has evolved. I started out with thinking, what is the most important thing? And to be honest, I wrestled with this for a long time. It really does help to do this in a group setting, and it's okay to borrow other people's ideas because sometimes they have good ones. And in this case, I was working with another Sandler trainer who said to me, yeah, the priorities in my business are prospect, sell, and train. So I said, oh, that's pretty good. And then over time, I began to develop that and added coaching and mentoring to mine. It can be if you have somebody that's an accountability partner. I really encourage that for my leaders, that they have someone that they can share ideas with and will really help them grow their business. It can be an activity that you develop over time.
So after we've got our priorities straight, what's the next spoke in our wheel?
So the next spoke in our wheel I look at is non-negotiable. Be very cautious here. Your non-negotiables are the things that you just won't tolerate anything less than. If somebody goes outside of these non-negotiables, you would fire them for it. I hate to sound blunt here, but that's what non-negotiable means. For example, in my organization, I say that a non-negotiable is to have excellent treatment of every person that engages with us, whether that's online, on the phone, somebody that walks into their office, anybody that engages requires excellent treatment. Another non-negotiable is complete honesty in all transactions with each other, clients, and prospects. So to me, the term transaction doesn't just mean when we sell or buy something. It means in our communication transactions as well.
As far as non-negotiables, those strike me as high-level principles. Are they measurable or is there an element of subjectivity to them?
There's an element of subjectivity, but I think if you hold yourself to a pretty high standard here and you hold your team to a high standard, you kind of know honesty and dishonesty when you see it.
Yeah.
A couple others that I have, the third one is respect for each other. We will treat each other in a friendly, courteous manner. Sometimes in an office, you have people that may not really want to hang out after work, and that's okay. People don't have to hang out after work, but they can be respectful in the office and be courteous. My last one, kind of a Sandlerism here, personal to me, I'm a no-drama zone. We get along, and in Sandler we say, when you come to work, leave your child in the car. For
That's
those
awesome.
Folks out there that understand we're talking about your child ego state, not actually your child.
Right. Yeah, so a no-drama zone, meaning I'm going to keep my emotions in check, and I'm not going to allow the manipulative game playing that is maybe all too common in some organizations.
Non-negotiables should be pretty short. There really should be a pretty short list of things that are absolute non-negotiables.
Some other examples that you've heard from other managers?
Most of them tend to revolve around how they will treat each other in terms of their organization. I've had non-negotiables be something like, we will be honest, you know, have integrity in the way we behave. It's usually those things. I have had some folks to say a non-negotiable for me, somebody who's continually misses a lot of work. I try to really encourage them to really take careful with the non-negotiable because there are reasons that people miss work sometimes, and we want to make sure that we're not violating any HR rules or laws when we say those things.
That's a good point. So keep them in balance with good business practice.
Yeah, keep them absolutely in balance with good business practice.
Got our non-negotiables. What's the next spoke in the wheel?
So the next one, this one is a little bit harder for people to put their finger on sometimes. We call it your personal idiosyncrasies. So these are things about you that are unique to you. If people do this, it's just going to get on your bad side every time. If we think about it, as often our cohorts and our employees are looking at us and they're trying to figure out, what is it that I need to do to make them happy or to make sure that I'm successful in this organization? They really spend a lot of time studying. Sometimes if we can just give them a heads up on a couple of things that really, if they do it, it's not, you're not going to fire them over it, but it's just not going to put you in a good mood for the day.
So these are your personal idiosyncrasies. I don't suppose you'd want to share yours.
Well, of course I'll share. So my number one personal idiosyncrasy is gossip. Gossip to me tears down and encouragement builds up. So I really encourage people to be a builder-upper. And I go on with my gossip statement to define with the people what I think gossip is, so that there's no ambiguity about that, because that's kind of a tough one for folks.
Yeah.
So to me, gossip is a conversation about another person who is not present, and the person you're speaking to is not directly related to solving that problem. Right? Sometimes people call it venting. So to me, that's an idiosyncrasy. Don't come into my office and vent.
So you're not going to accept venting as a masquerade. It really is drama. It really is.
It really is drama. That's one of mine. You know, I have another friend who, one of my managers, has a very direct style, intensely interested in people and how they're doing and really wants to be involved in their life. But one of his personal idiosyncrasies really doesn't like it when you ask him on Monday morning how his weekend was. Because he's a high D and he just wants to get down to business. It's okay if you want to tell him about your weekend, but he doesn't really want you to tell him about, ask about his. This is something that's just unique to you. Also, it should be short. And if you're not sure what it is, ask one of your friends. They can probably tell you.
Yeah. I'm thinking to figure that one out, just ask yourself what really bugs you.
Yeah, really bugs you.
So now that leaves us with seven. Number 8.
The last one is commitment.
Talk to us about commitment.
So a commitment is, what are you going to commit to them and what are they going to commit to you? You know, as an example, I say, I will never ask more from you than you see for me. I want and need you to hold me accountable. You know, this is something I commit to for them. I'm committed to holding them accountable and I want them to hold me accountable. And as their leader, I'm committed to their success. But they also have to be committed to their success. I'll provide resources, training, remove roadblocks. They're going to have to do the work to be successful in their position. So again, it's sort of that idea of that two-way street.
So Susan, give us a concept of how much time does it take to develop this, and then what's our finished product look like?
So great question. I think when we're talking about how much time it takes us to develop it, really we sit down with my managers and we put the framework together in about an hour. Really want to challenge people to not spend more than about 5 minutes on each section as they go through it the first time. Kind of the key point to remember is clear and concise. Leadership documents should be something that's no more than 2 pages long. And at the end, when you're reviewing it and you're sharing it with other people to help you edit it, you want to ask the question, was I clear and concise?
And I'm guessing that's a great tool to use to onboard new employees also.
It's awesome. If you as a leader can hand them this document, you'll find that it can become very inspirational.
Love it. What's the practical application? Once I've gone through the discipline of creating my leadership compass, how do I use it?
So for me, I think it's something that I keep. It's a living document. I keep it on my desk. I look at it every morning, and I share it with my team. Now, if you're a person out there, a listener out there who has 400 people on your team, it's okay to share it with all of 400, or you might choose to just share it with your senior leadership.
Yeah.
But the point is that it needs to be shared. If it's a document that, you know, you write, you go to the trouble of creating, and you don't really share it with anybody, I'm afraid it will not help you quite as much.
It's a great point. Susan, thank you so much. This has been tremendously insightful. Why don't you give your contact information in case somebody would like to reach out to you?
Susan Sykes, Sandler Training in Raleigh, North Carolina, 919-615-2136, or you can reach me via email at susan.sykes@sandler.com.
Susan, you're awesome. Thanks so much for being a part of the program. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. It's been great.
And listeners, thank you for spending part of your weekend with us. If there's any topic you'd like to hear more information on, please reach out to me. I'm available at area code 208 429-9275, Jim Stevens, Sandler Training here in Boise Valley. We're available on the web at crossroads.sandler.com. Remember, if you measure it, you'll manage it. Have a great weekend.
As a business owner or manager, do you have that gnawing feeling in your gut that says something's just not right? It's not uncommon to be so immersed in the daily battle that you're unaware of the small changes you could make that would produce a significant return on investment. I'm Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. We are a training and consulting firm who specialize in helping businesses increase gross and net profit, cash flow, and referrals generated from stellar customer service. Listen to my friend and client Brandon Wright, the owner of Ultra Clean, share his experience with Sandler Training.
I did $1.7 million when I met you, had 26 employees, and after my coaching with you, we grew another million with 16 employees, so 10 less employees, we did another million. So what does that tell you? It means I was doing something wrong.
If you're courageous enough to face what you may not know that could hurt you, give me a call. Jim Stevens, 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. Crossroads.sandler.com. Have you noticed that you can smell a salesperson a mile away? It's the smell of neediness and desperation. This is Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. Listen to my client, Bethany Brediger with Sonatrol Pacific, share her experience learning how to stop selling and become a trusted advisor.
Everything you teach is centered around not doing what the customer expects, that dance that you do back and forth that I was stuck doing. Didn't like my job and changed the way that I interact with clients so much so that now I feel very proud of what I do, and I talk to people and they forget I'm a salesperson because of these techniques. They end up selling it themselves. I'm not even selling.
Stop the buyer-seller dance and learn to love your career again. Call me. Jim Stevens, 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275 or on the web at crossroads.sandler.com.